Please be seated. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming, and thank you for Will and the band for leading us in worship. We'll be back to you later on. May I read to you a few verses from John chapter 15? John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, on page 1023. Of the Church Bibles, John 15, and beginning at verse 1. Jesus said these words, "I'm the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean, because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." The other evening, I had some of the local city clergy to a meal at the rectory, and it was, as I thought it would be, a really good time. We were there as a working meeting, really, to plan Lent courses and everything like that, but it was inevitably a pretty social time, and I'd worked quite hard. I thought, they're nice people, they're people I work with, I've really got to give them a reasonable meal with reasonable bottles of wine. I mean, you know, I say bottles, I don't mean dozens, I mean only a small number, because clergymen of the Church of England are notoriously abstemious when it comes to alcohol. Anyway, I thought the two bottles of claret I put out for them were really, you know, decent, two decent bottles, and they went very well with this casserole that I had prepared, you know, bits of herbs and things in it. It was all going to be all right, and all went well until about 5 minutes into it. I mean, chap I like enormously, but he can be very difficult, turned to me and said, "You know, Jeremy," he said, "I don't think the wine is quite up to it." I said, "Oh," I said, "how kind of you to let me know." And he said, "Yes," he said, "last time I came to you, it was particularly good." I said, "Well, that's very kind of you." He said, "I had high expectations of you this evening." I said, "Well, that's a real compliment." He said, "But you've disappointed me." I said, "Oh," I said, "it's a reasonable year, a reasonable vineyard," say I. No idea about the year or vineyard, but I thought if he's going to be pompous, there's no point in turning the other cheek, even though I'm a Christian. And I thought I'd better have a real go at him. Anyway, I said, I thought he was right. He said, "Well," he said, "it ought to be, but it isn't. Something's not right." I said, "I'm very sorry. Anyway, if you can bear to drink it, do. Otherwise, let me get you some elderflower." The thought of that soon put him back in his box. And halfway through the box, he said, "This wine is improving. It could be good." I said, "Well, that's very kind of you. Hasn't got much time left, given how much you've drunk already." He said, "I think that's being small-minded to make a comment like that." I thought, "Oh, I'm not going to win this. I'll go and check the apple crumble." But he went on, quite rightly, I suppose, though irritatingly, about the quality of the wine. And it's about quality that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. "I'm the true vine," he said, pointing not only to who he was, but also the excellence of what he offered. Of course, the imagery of vines that the Lord Jesus used was a familiar part of first century Israel. Indeed, the vine had become the symbol of that country's national identity. A great golden vine was carved on the door of the temple in Jerusalem. And repeatedly in the Old Testament, perhaps most especially though in the Psalms and in the prophecy of Isaiah, Israel was referred to by God as a vine. And that day, the Lord Jesus used the imagery of his heavenly Father as a gardener, imagery that again and again was used in the Old Testament. And the feel behind the word used here is of an expert in growing grapes. This was not the world of the enthusiastic amateur. When Jesus refers to his father as a gardener, it was referring to one who was an expert. Those listening that day would have known the passages in the Old Testament which describe the attentiveness of God to his people, using the image of planting a vineyard, talking about how he dug it up, cleared the ground of stones, planted it with the choicest of vines, with the right exposure to the sun, built a watchtower so you could see it developing and ensure that it wasn't raided by animals. This was a focused, quality project. God wanted the best for his people. They'd have all, as they gathered round the Lord Jesus that day, had this image at the back of their minds. They'd have remembered too those comments made by God and reported by Isaiah later in the prophecy, where he talked about how he delighted in his vineyard, how he looked upon his vineyard and was delighted by his people. The difference, of course, between the Old Testament and the New Testament was that day the Lord Jesus Christ described himself as the vine. Now, the quality of any grapes, as probably my friend could have told me again and again on Monday night, depends on the vine on which they're grown. And when the Lord Jesus is the vine, the grapes have the potential to be the best. And he wanted those he was talking to that day, as well as you and me, to realize the potential he sees in us because of our relationship with him. He wants us, as we see in verse 2, to be fruitful in the quality of our lives and in the attractiveness of our witness to our faith. Who you and I should be because of our relationship with Jesus Christ has the potential to make a difference for eternity in the lives of other people. Sounds great, but how do we do it? As we see in verse 4, the secret is remaining in him. And somehow, as we remain in him, he remains in us. So the Lord Jesus saying, come near to me. I'm with you. Make sure you stick close. Continue to draw down the resources that I offer you, all the blessing that I have for you. I don't want you to miss out on what you could be. Remain in me as I remain in you. So we should be praying in response to that. I need you, Lord Jesus. I can get on with life without reference to you quite often because I have to. But actually, I need you more often than I usually admit. If I'm to realize the potential you've given me, then I certainly need you more than I often put into words. I need to spend time with you. I don't need to get distant from you. I need all the resources. Because although I can sometimes hardly believe it, you want me to be fruitful, and you want me, because of who I am, to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. If that's what you've given me the potential to do, I'm going to get closer to you. because I'd really like to do that.